Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, today we celebrate what felt like the very first day of fall in Texas. Did I read where it was 99 degrees yesterday?
Yes.
That's just so wrong for October. But hey, it beats rain or a hurricane. So we'll take it. Don't forget, we have, especially in the parking lot, it's going to be busy tonight. We've got a lot of kids over there for vibe night. And we also have children in the park. And so when you're driving, be careful. They're not looking for you. You need to look for them. And so aren't you glad, though, we can have a whole bunch of kids on campus? We'll have, and that's just, you ought to see them back there in that backyard area. It looks like ants on a popsicle. It's just a bunch of them. Let's take a look at our scripture for today. This is an interesting scripture for stewardship. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted ox with hatred. Give it up there just for a second. You know, I think sometimes people feel like, and especially you feel like if you're a head of the household or you're responsible for a household, sometimes people feel like, you know, I just haven't provided enough for our family. You can see what other people do, or maybe see things that they're doing, and you're thinking, man, that's I wish I was able to do that. If you're not careful, you can get down on yourself. But I like, though, it says here, you know, you're better off with a little, just a little, and a respect for God in your home than a whole lot of money and turmoil. How many of you know sometimes you can have a whole lot of stuff and still be unhappy on the inside? Now, I'm a big believer, and I think we ought to have abundance. I think God's a God of abundance. So I'm not advocating for poverty. I've been poor. It was not a blessing. I never looked at Joy and went, man, could we just stay poor a lot longer? I love this. In fact, we went back to, when I was home a few weeks back, we went back to the apartment where Joy and I were staying when we first went back to North Carolina, first time I tried to start a church. And we went back to that apartment, and my sister found it. We had forgotten where it was, and she found it for us, and we drove in there. And we got out and began to look around, and I'm looking around going, we're not staying long, guys. Let's go. Let's get back in the car. Man, that thing, it got sketchy quick. And I'm like, I had two ladies with me, and I'm like, let's move. We looked around. We say everything. Let's go. It looked rough. And Joe and I were talking about that, and we were talking about how that department had gone downhill, but how the Lord had helped us and that we weren't in the same place anymore. But one of the things that we discovered when we were there, and we went through a time there, I mean, man, we just didn't have much at all. We were barely making it. Sometimes we were juggling bills, seeing who gets paid. But one of the interesting things was, as we actually grew closer to the Lord, especially me, Joy and I in our marriage began to experience more peace than we ever had. And so you say, hey, well, isn't that great, Alan? You got poor so you could experience. No, that's not it. What it was is in that time where we didn't have much, we begin to look to the Lord and begin to help bring peace in our home. And I can tell you something about peace in your home. You can't buy enough of that. That is just, how many of you know there's a difference between peace in your home and turmoil in your home, and peace is far, far better. And what it's saying here is, and even it says, better is a dinner of vegetables. Now, I know some of you who are vegans think that verse is like, yes, better is a dinner of vegetables. You're vegetarian, you're like, that's right, better. No, you got to read the rest of the verse and understand the context of how it was written. And it wasn't written for vegetarians. It was written for people who are saying, especially when they didn't have a lot of feasts back then, they didn't have restaurants everywhere. And so here you have a situation where you could have a big steak dinner, a feast, and you could have a bad atmosphere. There's strife and turmoil and hate. You're better off having mashed potatoes in peace. Have you ever went to a nice restaurant and argued your way through it and ruined the meal? Joe and I went one time and just took a problem on, and we were just lamenting, and it was just difficult, and it was supposed to be a great meal. It wasn't a great meal. And we actually discovered that if there's peace between us and love between us, we could go to IHOP on New Year's Eve. We used to go to IHOP on New Year's Eve because there's nobody in IHOP. No one goes, hey, let's go party at IHOP on New Year's Eve. No one goes. So we would go to IHOP, and we determined something along. Yeah, it's nice to eat at nice restaurants, but I'll be honest with you. If you can go to any place and eat with peace. So what's it say? It's just simply saying there's things money can't buy. And if you're in a situation now where you're kind of down on yourself because maybe you don't have enough, you don't feel like you're providing enough, you can provide an atmosphere that's good for the people around you. That's something you can control. And then you can look to the Lord to help you wherever you are financially. He can help you come out of that situation. Is there anybody in here that says, I used to be in a bad situation, but the Lord helped me come out, and we're not in that situation anymore? Just show of hands. People say, the Lord helped us. And see, look around. So you're not the only one. So, man, I believe in abundance. I believe God wants us to have enough to take care of our families and have enough to give liberally wherever, whenever we want to, and take care of other people and bless them. I believe that. But I also believe that the most important thing you can have, if you can have love in your home, you can have respect for God in your home, you've got something very, very valuable and something that'll make a huge, huge difference. So just a little different take on stewardship. Does that mean we need to stop giving now and just start loving everybody? No, it does not. This means do both. We started talking last week. Last week was night of worship. It was a good night of worship, too. Yeah, I enjoy that. Week before, on Because We Have a God, so I'm going to jump back there. Let's pray. How many of you believe that you didn't waste time by coming here tonight? Okay. Well, then let's believe you get something that'll help you, something make a difference. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to you. Thankful for your word. We're thankful for your spirit. We're thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, we're just grateful tonight and ask you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would reveal truth and light to us. Father, that things can be different in our lives. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There was a king, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to read that again because this is where we get the title of this message called Because We Have a God. 2 Kings, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and this is from the Christian Standard Bible. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Ahaziah had fallen through the latticed window of his upstairs room in Samaria. I don't know why, I just thought that was funny for a second, but I guess I don't know what you were doing up around that lattice, son, but you shouldn't have been there. Anyway, he fell through the room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers instructing them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says to you. You will not get up from your sick bed. You will certainly die. Then Elijah left. That's an Old Testament mic drop right there, baby. You did, and off he goes. The phrase that stuck out to me was, is there no God? And we can answer that question. If someone says, you have a God in your home? We can go, yes, we have a God. I have a God. I have a God. I've got the God. And so we're talking about because we have a God, how does that change us? Now, Ahaziah did not look to the true God. He grew up in an idol-worshiping home. And this is a situation where you had two bad parents that raised a bad kid, because his parents, his father and mother, were Ahab and Jezebel, who are notorious for their meanness, Jezebel especially, mean woman, and idol worshipers. And so here is Ahaziah, he's the king of Israel. This is supposed to be God's people. And he goes to ask of another god, of the god Beelzebub, which was an idol, which wasn't a god, instead of looking to the Lord. Now, what he should have done was he could have prayed himself. We have all kinds of stories in the Bible where these kings would pray and God would hear them. Hezekiah is a great one. Turned his face to the wall and prayed. We'll talk a little bit more about prayer, maybe not tonight. But he could have prayed. Or he could have at least said, you know, there's a prophet in Israel, Elijah. Elijah was a key prophet. Go ask him what's going to happen to me. But he did neither. He went into a foreign god. And that was a mistake, because God had always told them, do not associate with, do not adopt the gods of these other nations. I've always wondered, why in the world would they take on the gods of other nations? But you have to remember, the gods of other nations, they would make idols of them. And so you would have these idols, and they would have all these elaborate ceremonies and these idols and these temples. And so it gave them something visual that they could connect with. And the Israelis were considered very different because they worshiped a god you couldn't see. So they go in there, and these other nations will go, well, where's your god? And they go, can't see you. Well, we can see our gods. Yeah, but the Bible talks a lot about, yeah, they had gods. And they had eyes, but they couldn't see. And they had ears, and they couldn't hear. And they had mouths, and they couldn't speak. And everyone who worshiped them was just like them, dead spiritually. And so here's Ahaziah. He could have turned to God. He didn't. But we have a God. And so because we have a God, what does that do for us? Now, I will just say, I don't think I need to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You never want to inquire, if you have a big pressing problem, you don't want to go to a fortune teller or someone who does Ouija boards or anyone of the occult. You have a God, you don't need to go to them. You just simply need to stay away. You say, well, I heard that this person told this one something that happened. Listen, there is a spirit realm, and there are good spirits, and there are demonic spirits, and you do not want to mess with the demonic ones. You don't want to mess with the darkness. We've got the God of light and the God of truth. We don't have to go the other way. So just stay away. And that's just a word. Don't be calling the psychic hotline. They still have those. I heard someone say one time, well, you know, you've never seen this headline, psychic wins lottery. Just saying. All right. Because we have a God, how should we live? Because we have a God. We have a relationship. We have a God, creator of the heavens and the earth. How should we live? So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight, how we should live. And I want to talk about this. We live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith, not by sight. So we have a God that you can't see, and faith. I heard a great definition of faith. I've always liked, faith is being confident of what we expect. It's being convinced of what we don't see. It's confident of what we expect. We're convinced of what we don't see. And so our whole life with God is based on faith. Very few people have had a vision of Jesus on the cross. Now, I know some have, but most of us did not come that way. We simply heard God's word. Our faith is separate from our feelings and senses. This is real. This is real important. I know this sounds so elementary, but it's so true. Our faith is separate. You can have faith and have all kinds of wrong feelings. You could just not, and you've heard people say, you ever heard people say this? I just feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You ever heard that? Well, you don't want to live your life by feelings. Because feelings will lie to you. Feelings are very... Listen, if you did everything you felt, some of us would be in jail right now. We can't live by feelings. You say, well, you know, I just live by what I feel. Well, you probably got fired 5 or 6 times too, because when somebody came in and say, I need you to do this, if you say, well, I don't feel like doing it, we say, well, you can feel like walking out the door. But even in our relationship with the Lord, you don't want to base your relationship with the Lord based on a feeling. You don't want to base it on the fact that, you know, maybe somebody comes to the Lord and they just feel so excited and they're just so fired up and they're just doing so well, and then the feeling's gone. Then you hear people talk about, yeah, I'm in the valley. I'm on the mountaintop. I'm in the valley. On the mountaintop. I'm in the valley. That's a roller coaster. And you don't want to be a roller coaster Christian. So we learn, and we have to learn to live, because we have a God, we learn to live by faith. We don't have to have a feeling to act. We need a word to act. In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 14, it says, how then can they call on him whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? This is the reason right here that we support world missions. We support world missions because missionaries go into areas where they've never heard of Jesus. And if they've never heard of Jesus, they don't have a reason to believe. And so when someone comes and shares the gospel with them and shares the message with them, now they have a reason to believe. Faith comes by hearing. And this is how it doesn't come by seeing. It comes by hearing. Well, just think about this. Faith in me will come by hearing what I say to you. For example, after church, if you're up at Chipotle, wherever they are, there, you're sitting in Chipotle and you're just sitting there and someone says, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm waiting for Alan. He said he was going to buy me some dinner after church. He said, did he tell you that he was going to buy you dinner after church? No. I just believe he will. Based on what? Well, he's a nice guy. I know he likes Chipotle. And I like Chipotle. So here we are. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting and believing he's going to come by and buy me dinner. You're going to be hungry. You don't have a basis for faith. Now, if I told you, hey, after church, now this is hypothetical, you hear what I'm saying? If I say to you, hey, I will meet you after church, I will buy you dinner at Chipotle, then you have a basis of faith in me. You've heard my word. Now you can go to Chipotle and you can sit there, and if I don't show up, you can come to me and go, You said, now, as soon as I walk in the door, you're like, I want double chicken with brown rice and lentils. Load me up. You said, if I tell you that, then you have a basis for faith. I think a lot of times what happens is people say, well, I'm living by faith, and they don't have a basis for it. You need a basis for what? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You know this one. Without faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. So, no faith without hearing. Faith in God comes from hearing his word. This is how we live. This is one of the reasons I encourage you to read your Bible. You read the Bible, and what happens is you begin to hear his word and hear what he's saying to you. Now you have a basis to believe. Now you have a basis for faith. And so this is why we try to give so many scriptures. Because there's one thing to have opinions. It's another thing to have God's word on something. And so you need his word. And this is how we live. So we live by faith in God. And Hebrews 11:6 says this: without faith, it's impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, this is important. I believe there's a lot of people that believe in God, that believe God's real. I said, how many of you believe God's real? But here's the next one. How many of you believe that he will reward you if you seek him? See, this is where a lot of times people draw back. In fact, you listen to some people, they believe God's real and that he will smack you or he's out to get you. I'm going to tell you something, guys. If God was out to get us, we'd have been God a long time ago. And some of us gave him good reason. But I tell you, we got a God who is merciful. He is merciful and his mercy endures forever. And he is good. There's a lot of us in here who could say, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I would not be here. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I would not exist if it wasn't for his mercy. So, but we got to believe he's a rewarder. Now, I'm going to give you something to do this week. And if you will do it, it will bless you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. But also it is good for us to hear God's word coming out of our mouth. It will bless you if you just walked around your house today. You don't have to, don't walk around your office place with your hands raised up saying this. You look weird. We're not weird. I know it says we're a unique people, a special people, a peculiar people, but that does not mean weird. But just walk around your house and say, Father, I believe you're real, and I believe you're rewarding me as I seek you. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, Alan, I'm not very expressive. You want to be. Because there's a powerful connection with our mouth and our heart and our faith. It's a powerful, powerful connection. We talked a little bit about this. That's what you just want Joy and I say all the time. We're talking about Lord's good. Lord's good to us. Lord's helping us. What are we doing? We're not, people say, well, I'm not trying to manipulate God. Do you honestly think you can manipulate God? Are you serious? You can't manipulate the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth. You're not going to manipulate him. All I'm doing is agreeing with him. For the Lord's good and his mercy endures forever. I need to get that in my mouth because faith comes again by hearing and it's helping me hear. Now, we believe God's real. We believe he exists. We believe he rewards us if we seek him. That means to search, to seek after God with a sincere desire to know him. And here's the deal. This is possible. Deuteronomy 4 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. God said he is, if you go after him, you will find him. If you believe he exists, and you believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, if we really believe that, we'd be seeking God. We'd be serious about, because if God can reward me, whew, you know, God can reward us like nobody else. Now, don't just think money. Just think he can reward us with his peace. He can reward us with his wisdom. He can reward us with his presence. He can reward us with helping us get rid of fear in our lives and areas that have bothered us. Listen, there's a lot of different ways God can reward us. He's a rewarder. He's good. You know, if you're a parent, you know this. You want to see your children blessed. Amen. A good parent, if you were a parent, you said, no, I don't want to see them blessed. I like seeing them suffer. I enjoy seeing my kids suffer. You can let them go, what kind of parent are you? Good parents are like, no, I love it when my kids are blessed. I love it when my children are blessed. I love it when my grandchildren are blessed. I like to see them blessed. I don't like to see them hurting. I don't like to see them suffering. And we got a God who's better than we are. And he said he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, are we getting this? We live by faith. We don't have to live by our feelings. We live by faith in God. This is possible. Now, here's the thing. We can do this. We have to adopt the mentality that says this is not too hard. I want to read this to you. This is out of Deuteronomy 30. I didn't have the whole thing up on the screen. I have just this part. For this is the commandment that I command you. This is Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. It's not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. So here's the key. We need to stop saying things like, well, you know, it's hard living the Christian life. It's hard. I can't do this. I can't live. Listen, we can do this. And what we need to begin to say is, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God says live by faith, I can live by faith. I live by Him. I trust Him. He is good to me. He's a rewarder. And we begin to say, I can do this. Instead of buying off on the mentality that I can't. If you buy off on the mentality that you can't, you will limit yourself right there. If you begin to say to yourself, well, you know, I've tried and I just can't do this and I just can't live this life and I just can't break this habit and I just can't break this. Listen, you want to stop saying that. You want to begin to say the word is near you. What's near you? It's in your mouth and in your heart. You need to begin to say, thank God I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God He's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God I am blessed and I am not cursed. Thank God I'm the head, not the tail. There's a lot of things you can say outside of I can't. So you don't want to buy into that I can't do it mentality. If we're going to live by faith, you say, well, Alan, I just don't feel like it. Well, your feelings need to take a back seat. Listen, there are times that I have gotten up on a Sunday morning. I just didn't feel like coming to church and preaching to you guys. How would that work? You know, Joy would stand up and go, well, Alan's not here this morning. He just said he didn't feel like it. I've had so many of you tell me, I love this too. I've had people come up to me and go, you know, I didn't feel like coming today, but I came. I'm like, are you doing better? Yeah, I'm doing better. Listen, guys, if you only do what you feel, you won't do very much. And we live by faith, not by feelings. Say, well, Alan, why are we going through this? Because this is how we live. Because any area that you're deficient in or any area that you're having a problem in is an area that we go to God and say, Lord, what do you say about this? And this is where I'm going to have to believe you. If you're having a problem with fear, instead of just saying, I just have this fear. And you say, well, you need to stop saying that. Well, I do have the fear. We need to begin to say something different. We begin to say, thank you, Lord, that you don't want me to have fear. Thank you, Lord, that you've not given me, the Holy Spirit in me is not a spirit of fear. Thank you that I can cast all my cares on you and I don't have to be afraid. But if you keep talking fear, then the word that's near you is not His word. There's such a powerful connection between our mouth and our heart. And the enemy's done everything he can to take it out of the way. And you hear people say, well, you know, all that confession stuff doesn't work. That's how we got saved. You know, every time that we pray, it's out loud. Because if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Confession, we don't realize speaking is an action. And if you don't think it's an action, just try to get your mouth moving in a different direction. Because when we can talk about it in here, but yet it becomes a little tougher to go home and when no one's around and there's nobody smiling at you and Mary Beth's not singing and we're not worshiping, it's a lot harder to say things like, praise God, God is helping me, we're coming through this, we're overcomers through Him who loved us. We are rooted and built up in Him, and we are abounding in thanksgiving. It's a lot harder to do it when there's nobody else around. But if you will begin to do it, you'll start to push past your feelings and get over into a place where we walk by faith and not by sight. And then feelings won't dominate so much. And listen, when your feelings don't dominate so much, it'll change your whole marriage. It will change your whole marriage because you're going to feel like saying something. Joy and I were in the car when we were on vacation. That's where we spent a lot of time together. And she said something, and I about ramped up. I know y'all ever do this, so just indulge me just for a second. I about ramped it up, man. And I caught myself. And I just said something like, well, praise God. And Joyce said, you were about to say something else, weren't you? You were about to. I'm like, don't push me. Don't just let me go with this. But you know what that did? That could have been an argument. That could have been a testy time. I don't hit Joy. Let me clarify for our viewing audience. I do not hit my wife. She has hit me. I do not hit her. Oh, y'all think I'm lying, don't you? No, one time she did about break my finger one time. Y'all know that story. Pointed my finger, put it right in her face. That was a mistake. She snatched it and bent it, and I'm... Then you feel like apologizing. I'm sorry. But here's the deal. If we can learn to control our words and begin to speak with God's words, we can also learn to control our feelings in other areas as well. And then we learn that we're not governed by feelings. And Joy told me the other day, she said, you're getting a whole lot better. Because what y'all don't realize is I'm pretty sparky. My nature is not mellow. Y'all like, oh, Pastor Allen, he's so mellow. No, he's not. He's really not. He used to be high-tempered, fly off just in a second. And the Lord's helped me. And you can grow. And if I can grow, you can grow. It's not too hard. We can do it because his word is near us. It's in our mouth and in our heart. And so any area that you're having a problem in is where you need to put your mouth on. Get God's word and put your mouth on it. James said that our words are like the rudder of a ship. You want to change the direction of the ship, you got to turn the rudder. And if you keep saying, I just hate you, you got the rudder going in the wrong direction. You need to begin to say, I'm just so glad God gave me you. I just love you. I love you with an everlasting God kind of love. So that's not real. Yeah, but you say it long enough, it will be. I ain't lying. But listen, right? The Japanese railway system, they have those bullet trains. They also have some of the best safety records of any train, national train situation. And the Japanese are known for what they call point and call. And so when they're coming into the station, they will point like to the speedometer and go, we're approaching doing this speed, and they'll call it. It's called point and call. You have to both point to it and call it. And it sounds ridiculous, but Toyota brought it into their safety measures for their company, and Japanese companies have brought it into their manufacturing system because there's something powerful about pointing and calling and speaking. Verbalizing is powerful. God gave us the ability to speak. He didn't give any other creature the ability to speak. I know you think your dog can speak. He cannot. I've seen the YouTube clips where the dog's going, more water. When the dog goes, hey, I'd like some more water, please, then I'm interested in listening. But they're not. We're the only ones that can speak and choose words. And so the Japanese have learned, they point and call. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times I'm pulling out of the driveway, we have the garage door opener. Have you ever pulled out and forgot whether or not you dropped the garage or not? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Okay, well, I just tell you, I forget sometimes whether or not I dropped the garage door. So I've started pointing and calling. Down. Say, well, that's stupid. Well, that does keep me from driving back around the block just to make sure that I shut the door. Just saying. I know y'all are more advanced than I am, but But the principle is there. God's word is near us. We need to begin to say the same thing. Now, I'm going to introduce this. We'll talk about it next week. There are three expressions of our faith, and they all involve our mouth. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Right there. You notice all of those have to do with words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. They're expressions because we have a God. These are expressions of our faith. Expressions of rejoicing always. Got just a little time, so let me just talk about one. To rejoice means to be glad, to be joyful. Joyful and glad show up as expressions. We rejoice, there's good reasons to. We rejoice when something good happens. We rejoice in hope. If you put up, I skipped on you, would you put up Romans 12:12? Rejoicing in hope. That word hope, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer. That word hope is the word expectation. Rejoicing, not in a wish, rejoicing in expectation. Because we have a God, whatever we're dealing with at the moment, we want to bring him into it. We need him involved. And one of the ways we can begin to do that is to rejoice, and that we're rejoicing in expectation. But as a people with a God, we should be rejoicing in an expectation of good. This is why I believe, honestly, we ought to be the most hope-filled people. Now, I know immediately people go, well, Alan, you obviously don't see what's going on in our nation. I see exactly what's going on in our nation. But I can't lose my hope. I can't lose my expectation of good. I can't become hopeless like people who don't have a God. Because we've got a God. You say, well, the whole world's going to hell. No, I'm not. You're not. There's a lot of us that are not. No. And so I don't even like some of these carte blanche, this generation is the most anxious and nervous generation. And there's all kind of stats. But I can't get bogged down in that. I need to be rejoicing. Rejoice. The Bible said rejoice always. I've looked up that word always. You know what it means? Yeah, exactly. So you guys know Hebrew and Greek. It means always. It's an all-the-time thing. And so that rejoice. Now, very honest with you, that's something you'll have to train yourself to do. You're not, because you're not going to feel like rejoicing always. And so you have to train yourself to do that. And when you first start doing it, it isn't easy. This life is a great life. But whoever said the Christian life is an easy life doesn't know what they're talking about. The Bible says we fight the good fight of faith. It's a faith fight. We live in a dark world. We live in a world that's surrounded with demonic forces and people who are messed up, and we got all kinds of stuff. But the idea is that even in the middle of that, we're the ones who need to be rejoicing all the time. And so to do that, that means we can't go with the flow of everybody else and what they're doing. We have to go in a different direction. And sometimes swimming upstream is not easy. And rejoicing when you feel, you're like, oh dear God, I don't feel like rejoicing, I feel like collapsing. Well, it's a training thing. So this week, remember, here's the thing. This week we're going to say, Lord, thank you. I believe you are real. And I believe you are rewarding me as I'm seeking you. Will y'all do that this week? Say it out loud. You say, well, I feel weird saying it out loud. Well, it's because we're so accustomed to speaking differently. And we're having to retrain ourselves on how we speak. Listen, we can retrain ourselves. You can learn a whole lot of different things just by saying, I'm going to learn how to do this. You can retrain yourself on your diet. You can retrain yourself on your words. There's a lot of things we can retrain ourselves on. But we need to retrain ourselves on going, hey, I'm going to speak God's word. And if it feels weird, okay. But if we do it enough, it stops feeling weird. Then it feels normal. And pretty soon we get some behind it. We're like, man, God, I know you're good. And I know you're rewarding me. I got a God. I got a big God. You bow your head for a second. Now, if you're here tonight and you think, man, I don't know about any of this. Maybe you're watching. You go, I don't know about that. I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. Well, that's one thing you want to get. And we're so glad you're here, and we're glad you're watching, because it's a wonderful opportunity. Coming to him is not hard. You just got to believe that he's real. And if you come to him, he'll reward you. He'll reward you with salvation, which is the greatest reward you can ever have. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you said, Alan, I don't really know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I know I don't, but I want to. Or I used to have a relationship with the Lord, and I've gotten away from him, and I want to come back. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up just across this altar? Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Great. Put your hands down. Now, here's the beautiful thing. We're going to pray, and God's going to hear you. But you want to say it out loud with us. If you're by yourself there at home or watching, wherever you're watching, just say it with us. If you're with other people, say it quietly. Here in this church, we're all going to say it out loud. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want this. This is a great prayer. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who are here, those who are online, those who have come to you, and those who've come back, and we rejoice with them. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.